We continue to pray, please. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, thank you that you are here in our midst now. We ask, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Very warm good afternoon to all of you. All of Singapore rejoices. All of Singapore rejoices because we won an Olympic gold medal for swimming. Of course, it was Joseph Schooling who won it, but we all feel that we won it, right? We're all rejoicing. I even know of some of my friends that to celebrate the victory of Joseph Schooling, they themselves immediately went swimming. Because they figured that if he can win a gold medal, they too can do pretty well in the swimming pool. All of Singapore rejoices. It's a good day for Singapore, praise God. You know, recently we heard the very shocking news that terrorists were actually planning to send a rocket from Batam over to Singapore to hit Marina Bay Sands. Praise God, the Indonesian police foiled the plot, uncovered the plot. But if the plot had been successful, many people in Singapore would have lost their lives. Many people would have had their lives suddenly cut short. And that makes today's scripture reading a timely word for us, a word directly to us at this point of time. Can we see the first slide, please? See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Next slide. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Ephesians 5, 15 to 16. In the days when the Apostle Paul wrote this, there was widespread expectation that Jesus would come again soon. And also, they understood from the scriptures that before Jesus comes again, there will be terrible days, days of great turmoil, great suffering. And that is why Paul said the days are evil. You know, if the days were evil in Paul's time, they are even more evil in our time. At one time, warfare used to be soldier versus soldier. But now, warfare means terrorists against a defenseless civilian. The days are evil. And so Paul says, this is what we must do. Next slide, please. He says we must redeem the time. Redeem the time. Make the most use of our time, because the days are evil. Our topic for today, redeeming the time. You may be wondering, why is this our topic for today, redeeming the time? Aren't we supposed to be doing a sermon series on worship for these few months? The answer is yes. Today's sermon is about worship. It is about worship, because to redeem the time, from this passage we see there are two things that we must do, both starting with the letter B. Can we see the slide, please? The two things: be filled with the Spirit and burst into song. Firstly, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5:18. Next slide, please. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Have you ever watched on TV Chinese and Korean dramas? I'm sure you have. KTV is a hot favorite in Singapore. And you know that on these Chinese and Korean dramas, the hero doesn't always get his way. In fact, quite often, the hero gets heartbroken because his girlfriend rejects him. And what does he do when he is so sad? He gets drunk. That's the way he drowns his sorrows. He gets drunk. But not so in Bible times. You know, in the times of Paul, people drank liquor, wine, not because they were sad, but because it was part of their pagan religion. They even had a god of wine, a god of madness. And to worship this god, they themselves had to get drunk. Paul says, in this context, people who drink so much that they get drunk, they are wasting their lives, because too much wine brings them to all kinds of immoral behavior, immoral sexuality. Paul says debauchery, dissipation, wasting your life. And then Paul contrasts. Instead of the spirit of alcohol, Paul says, be filled with another kind of spirit, the Holy Spirit. So let's see the next slide. Ephesians 5:18, reading from English Standard Version, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. The Greek verb for be filled is the present continuous tense. By that, it means be filled is not a one-time event, but it's be filled, be filled, be filled, be filled. Many, many times. Present continuous tense. Many times. And that is why other New Testament translations read this way. Next slide, please. The Power New Testament translates this as, you must continually be filled with the Spirit. Next slide. The Complete Jewish Bible translates it as, keep on being filled with the Spirit. Not one time, but many times. Is this confusing? Are you confused? They say, so how many times must I be filled with the Holy Spirit? I think let's make things simple. Let's say three times. Just three times. And I will explain to you what the three times are. The first time is when we are born again, when we receive Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. The slide, please. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. When we first confess our faith in Jesus, we can only do so because the Holy Spirit comes to us. This is the first time we receive the Holy Spirit. Are you born again? If you are, you receive the Holy Spirit once. And then there's a second time. Next slide, please. Next slide is from Mark 1, verse 8. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. These are the words of John the Baptist. John the Baptist received that name because he literally baptized people in the River Jordan. He said, I'm baptizing you with water. But Jesus, when he comes, he will baptize you not with water, but with the Holy Spirit. And this is the second time. It's a distinct experience from the first time. This second time when we receive the Holy Spirit is what is called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is the time that we receive the spiritual gifts, with the most common gift being the gift of tongues. It's the gift, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, but most people, the first gift they receive is tongues, the most common gift. The first time when we are born again, the second time when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, and now the third time. The slide, please. Looking again at Ephesians 5:18, you must continually be filled with the Spirit. Notice this about the third time. It's not a one time. It's a many, many times thing. The third time is again, 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 again. Continually be filled in the Spirit. And in my life, I have found this to be true. The first time I received the Holy Spirit, I was 21 years old when I was born again. The second time was a little while later. I was working in the Straits Times as a journalist, and I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. That was my second time. And then the third time is many, many fresh infillings of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I'm alone, and as I'm praying, as I'm worshiping, the Holy Spirit touches me. He fills me afresh. Or sometimes other people pray for me, and as they lay hands and pray for me, I'm filled afresh with the Holy Spirit. I remember there was once I was attending a Christian conference. It was a huge conference, many, many hundreds of people. And it was a whole day conference. Sometime in the middle of the morning, before the coffee break, The speaker said, I'm going to pray for the pastors. Now, actually, I think everyone there wanted to be prayed for, but there were just too many people. So the speaker said, I will pray for the pastors now. And another time during this day, I will pray for the rest of you. And so he made a call. I'm a pastor, so I went forward. And all of us pastors, we stood in a long line because there were so many of us. And the speaker went around laying hands and praying for each pastor. Practically everyone he prayed for was slain in the spirit. Slain in the spirit means you fall down under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then it came to my turn. Yes, I also was slain in the spirit. I also fell down. Of course, there were catchers. You know catchers? They stand behind you. They catch you so that you don't injure yourself. They caught me, and then they let me down gently, and I lay on the floor. And I felt a wonderful presence of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how much time passed. I was just enjoying lying there. And then suddenly it occurred to me, I'm lying on the carpet. I think many, many hundreds of people must have walked on this carpet. I think it's very, very smelly. So I took a deep breath. Oh, there's no bad smell. In fact, the opposite. It was a very sweet fragrance. I believe the fragrance of the Holy Spirit. I said, wow, this is wonderful. So I continued to lie there, enjoying the Holy Spirit. Again, I don't know how much time passed. Finally, I decided to open my eyes. And lying on the floor with my eyes open, I looked around. Oh, empty. It's empty. Everyone is gone. I said, oh no. Nobody waited for me. They all went for their coffee break and they left me alone on the floor. At first, I was feeling sorry for myself. But then I realized, no, this is good. They got coffee. I got the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I encourage you, be filled with the Spirit again, 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 many, many, many times. I know that some people are frightened to fall down. I can understand. Some people are very worried that what happens? You pray for me and I get slain and I fall down. I can only say you don't have to fall down. You don't need to get slain. But if you really do get slain, you will experience something so beautiful. You will experience something so wonderful. And many times when we are slain and we're lying on the ground, the Holy Spirit speaks to us and He ministers to us. For some people, He ministers very deep healing as we are lying on the ground. So let's come back to Ephesians 5:18. The slide, please. Be filled with the Spirit. Please notice the language. It's not a suggestion. You know what a suggestion is? A suggestion is this. May I suggest that it's a good idea for you to consider sometime in the future when you are free, you may want to be filled with the Spirit. That's a suggestion. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say, please consider being filled with the Spirit. The Bible says it as a command, be filled with the Spirit, a command. And so all of us, please let us receive this word of God in our heart. You may ask, how does being filled with the Spirit help me to redeem my time? That's what we're talking about today, right? Redeeming the time, making the most of every opportunity. How does being filled with the Spirit help me to redeem time? The next slide, please. Here is the answer. The Holy Spirit gives us purpose and power. Purpose and power. We all need purpose in life. In fact, we need purpose every single day. If we don't know at the start of our day what we want to do today, chances are when the night comes, you will review the whole day and you will say, I wasted today. I didn't do anything because I had no purpose for today. So we need purpose. But having purpose is not enough. We need the power to achieve that purpose. And the Holy Spirit gives us that power. You know, just this last week, I had one extremely busy day with meetings from morning to night, literally from morning to night. But my purpose is not to attend meetings. I don't know how many of you like meetings. I know meetings are necessary, and I will attend meetings, but that's not my purpose. My purpose is actually to see the Holy Spirit at work every day, every day. And so it happened that day that I had just finished one meeting, and I had a short break time before the next meeting was to begin. During that short break time, I received news that someone was coming to the cathedral to see me. Now, this particular person, he was a Christian, and then many things happened in his life, and he turned his back on Jesus, turned away completely from Jesus, and he became an idol worshiper. But as time went on, he felt the Holy Spirit touching him, speaking to him, and he said, "Yes, I want to return to Jesus." So this man, out of his own free will, he decided to remove all the idols from his home, and he was coming to the cathedral to see me. I had only a few minutes between the first meeting and the second meeting, but I was happy to see him, and I did see him together with one other cathedral staff member. As I met up with this man who wanted to come back to Jesus, suddenly the Holy Spirit gave me the power to discern something spiritually, to see something which in the natural I would never see. Now, before I tell you what I saw, I need to tell you that by nature, I am not a very observant person. I say that to my own shame. I am not a very observant person. Once I was having Bible study, and then in the midst of the Bible study, a lady walked in and she sat down. She was flashing a ring, very big ring, flashing it around. I don't even know which hand. She was flashing this ring around. It was an engagement ring. And everyone in the group was so distracted by this ring flashing around. And everyone noticed this ring. Everyone except me. I didn't even see the ring. I'm not very observant. There was another time, my friend went to a hairstylist, and she spent a lot of money. She paid a huge sum of money to have a designer haircut, a new hairstyle. It was so expensive, and she was so proud of it, so pleased with herself. Shortly after that, I met her, and we just started talking. We're talking a long time until she couldn't stand it anymore. And she said, "Don't you notice anything different about me?" she said. And I stared at her like, "Oh, what?" And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "I just spent so much money on a new hairdo, and you can't even see it." And I said, "Oh, yes, your hair does look a bit funny." I'm not a very observant person. But coming back to that day, when I was talking to this man who wanted to come back to Jesus, suddenly the Holy Spirit made me so observant. And I saw that this man was wearing a chain around his neck. I couldn't see what was at the end of the chain because he put it inside his shirt. As we were talking, suddenly the Holy Spirit drew my attention to this chain. And I said to the man, "What are you wearing around your neck?" He said, "Oh, nothing. This is nothing." I said, "Did you remove all the idols?" He said, yes, I removed all the idols." I said, "Then what are you wearing?" At first he kept denying it. Nothing, this is nothing. Then finally he admitted it. He was wearing an idol, a pendant of an idol. We asked him to remove it. He did, and we prayed with him. Praise God. This is one example of how the Holy Spirit helps me to redeem the time. How the Holy Spirit helps me to make use of every opportunity to advance His kingdom, to bless other people. I pray that all of us would have this experience of redeeming the time by being filled with the Holy Spirit again, again, and again. Hallelujah. Next slide, please. To redeem the time, firstly, be filled with the Spirit, and second, burst into song, burst into song. Ephesians 5:19. Next slide, please. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is the King James Version. Very old-fashioned, very hard to understand. How can we speak to ourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? The ESV, English Standard Version, is a bit clearer. Now let's see the next slide. Addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. A little bit clearer, because here we're not speaking to ourselves, but we are addressing each other. Even so, it is confusing, because how do we speak to each other in songs? The answer is this. Next slide, please. The Greek word used is laleo, and laleo is the word. It can mean speak, it can mean address, but also laleo can mean to make a sound, to make a sound. Like singing, singing is a sound. So we sing, not to each other, but in the presence of each other, like in a congregation. We can hear each other singing. We sing in three types of songs: psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. What's the difference? The first one, psalm. Most people, we think that a psalm is what we read in the Bible. There are 66 books in the Bible. One of the books is called Psalms. And if this is your understanding of the word psalm, you are correct. But there is another meaning. Next slide, please. The Greek word for psalm is psalmos, and it comes from the word sao. And sao means to strum an instrument, like a guitar, like a harp, to strum it with a pick or a plectrum. Can you see the orange thing in the photo? Most people call it a pick, but the correct word is plectrum. This is the meaning of sao. It's a musical meaning. And so psalm also has a musical meaning. The later meaning of psalmos was any part of scripture put to music. You sing it, you're accompanied by music. That's a psalm. It must be a part of scripture, not necessarily from psalms proper, from anywhere in the Bible. If you sing it, you put it to music, you're accompanied by a musical instrument, that in the definition is a psalm. And I remember the early days of the charismatic renewal in Singapore, we were literally singing scripture in song. So I'm not a good singer, and please excuse my bad singing, but as I sing some of these choruses, I hope it'll be familiar to you, that you can remember some of the very, very early songs we used to sing when the charismatic renewal first came to Singapore. This is the day, this is the day. You remember that one? Another one, thy loving kindness. And another one, rejoice in the Lord always. All these are directly from scripture. We sing it. They're called psalms. The second type is called hymns. Now, many people have a very strange idea of a hymn. They think that a hymn is the direct opposite of a chorus. And they think that a hymn is majestic, and a chorus is maybe for those not so well educated. They think that a hymn maybe sounds very grand, a chorus doesn't. A hymn has got many verses, a chorus doesn't. Sorry, all wrong definitions, wrong definitions. Here's the correct definition. The next slide, please. The Greek word is hymnos, and hymnos simply means a song in honor of God. A song in honor of God. You say that sounds like a psalm. Yes, but it's different. Because remember, a psalm is taken from the Bible, whereas a hymn is written by a person not in the Bible. So who is a person who is not in the Bible? Someone like you, someone like me. If we compose songs in honor of God, we are composing hymns. That is the definition of a hymn. And now the third type of song is called spiritual songs. And spiritual songs has more than one meaning. It could mean a song composed by the Holy Spirit. So I've been in a situation, a worship service, everyone is worshiping God together, and then there's a time of silence. And in the silence, suddenly someone, could be the worship leader, could be someone in the congregation, will suddenly sing out very loudly. And the song, the words, the music, he never composed it. It was just given to him on that spot by the Holy Spirit. No one, no human being composed it. But suddenly the Holy Spirit gave him the words, gave him the music, and he can sing it out loudly in the presence of the congregation. It's beautiful. Another meaning of singing in the Spirit is what we call singing in tongues. Next slide, please. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing praise with my mind also. If we sing with our mind, it means we're using the language that we're familiar with. We could be singing in English or Chinese or some other language that you know. But if you're singing in tongues, you're singing in an unknown language. That's singing in the spirit, singing in tongues. Have you ever heard singing in tongues? Have you heard it? Would you like to hear it? I could worship now a little bit in tongues if you would like to hear it. Would you? All right. Just very briefly. Oh yadaba shadaban, oh yadaba sadai, oh narakirain. That's just me, one individual, singing in the spirit, worshiping in tongues. I have seen occasions when there are many, many people all singing in tongues at the same time. Everyone is singing different words. Everyone is singing a different tune, and yet somehow it harmonizes so beautifully, it sounds almost angelic. Three types of songs. I pray that we will all sing the first one, which is Psalms, straight from the Bible. Let us all sing Psalms. The second one, hymns. Let us all sing hymns. Whether it's hymn as we know it or chorus, so long as it's composed by a human being, let's all sing hymns and spiritual songs. Oh, I long for that day when all of us will sing spiritual songs. Songs given to us by the Holy Spirit, singing in tongues. The next slide, please. To redeem the time, be filled with the Spirit and burst into song. Burst into song. You may ask, how does bursting into song help me to redeem the time? How does bursting into song help me to make the most use of my time? I have a phone, we all have phones, and on my phone, I have many chat groups. They're called WhatsApp groups. And there was one particular day when this one chat group was working nonstop. I think 100 messages came in. Tick, 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 tick. 100 messages came in, all on the same topic. It was a very bad topic. They were full of criticisms, thankfully not for me, but full of criticism of politicians and public figures. Everything that this public figure wore, the dressing, the shoes, everything came under attack. Criticize, criticize, criticize. One whole day of that. At the end of the day, I felt so terrible. You know, I felt so worn out. And I felt, I've wasted the whole of today reading this. Why did I even read it? It didn't make me feel good. It made me feel lousy to read so much negative talk. It sent me into depression. In contrast to that day, that wasted day when I was reading all this negative SMS, in contrast, I remember last Sunday. Last Sunday, you know, I pastor the 7 a.m. and 5 p.m. services, and I always pray, Holy Spirit, come. I know that many of you pray for our services, and praise God that you do. For myself, I always pray, Holy Spirit, come. Last Sunday, the Holy Spirit came to the 5 p.m. service in a very wonderful and special way. I remember I was over there, that's my usual place, and someone, I think it was Esther, she was over there reading the scripture from the eagle. Actually, the correct word is lectern, but I always call it eagle. So she was standing there reading the scripture. Suddenly, as Esther was reading the scripture, I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me and I began to cry. It wasn't that she was reading a very sad passage. No, it's just that I felt the Holy Spirit and I started to cry. And I was so embarrassed because, you know, Reverend Michael Ross Watson, the preacher last week, he was next to me. I was crying. I said, don't let him see me. This is embarrassing. I'm just crying. And then later, he came up to preach and I was there. And I cried right through the sermon because I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly. And then the worship, when we sang together last week, it was so glorious. To me, bursting into song, worshiping God, is a wonderful way to redeem the time. It's not wasting time, but it's being in God's presence, being renewed, enjoying His presence, doing what He loves. He loves us to worship Him. He loves us to worship Him. You know, not just in a congregation, but even by ourselves. As the second part of Ephesians 5:19 says, and the next slide, please. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. On your own, not in a congregation, on your own. You sing, you make melody in your heart, wherever you are. You're at home in the kitchen, you're on the MRT, you're at work, but you're in between meetings. Just worship God. Just sing. Burst out into song. Burst out into song. I told you last time I was in Vietnam on holiday how I burst out into song in a supermarket. It happened to me again recently, this time in Singapore, not in a supermarket, but I was having lunch. And I went to a restaurant, a cheap restaurant, and I sat there. And as I was waiting for the food to come, suddenly I burst into song. I just sang and sang and worshiped God. Of course, it helped that it was very late. It was past 2 p.m. So, you know, the restaurant was rather empty. That helped. Hallelujah. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Redeem the time. Is this your desire? I pray that all of us would be filled with the Spirit, not once, not twice, but many, many times, again, 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 and that we'll redeem the time by worshiping Him wherever we are. Let's close our eyes. Let's come before the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you are good. Thank you that you love us. Thank you for your blessing upon Singapore. And Father, in your great love for us, Lord, you want to give us more and more of the Holy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that our hearts will be open to you to desire more and more of your Spirit. And Lord, that we would love you so much that we will make worship our lifestyle, anywhere, everywhere, worshiping you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. After the service, some of us will stay behind here and we want to pray for you. If you want to be filled with the Spirit again, again, or your prayer for any other need, I encourage you to stay back after the service. We'll be here praying for you. Thank you.